Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. Hey, we're going to do a couple things before we get in the Word. I have a brief word, which is good, because I have some other stuff I want to do. Going on the mission trip here in a couple weeks. Make sure you get your apps in. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like Sarah Pagano has a couple prophetic words she's going to share. She's good. She's good, buddy. Thank you so gentlemanly, Isaac. Are you guys good? All right, here let me just teach on this. If you're new to our house, got an entire teaching on this. But we just know that, excuse me. Okay, I just like to point out when she interjects because she hates it when I interject when she's talking. So I just like to amplify when she does it to me so I can say, you do it too, right? So so we have an entire teaching on prophecy at the Next Steps table. But let me say a couple things really quickly before, I don't know why I'm sharing this right now, but I just feel like I'm supposed to. The prophetic ministry never ended. Right? The three areas of giftings in the New Testament, it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians 12, talks about the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of the Father, gifts of Jesus. Prophecy is the only one in all three, right? So it's, I don't know, Sarah, how you could read the New Testament and not see prophecy.
You have to purposefully jump over it
yeah. And think like, well, they said this, but I probably know what Peter meant. He probably didn't know what word to use. Paul didn't really know what word to use, but he actually meant prophecy, and so he used it. And so it's in all three, but let me just say this real quick. When someone gives you a prophetic word, never receive a prophetic word or an apostolic ministry, a prophetic. Anytime anyone violates your free will, anytime anybody gives you a word that violates your responsibility for your life, or they start superimposing someone else's will upon you, run, right? That's my only advice. Just run. Like if they tell you, you are, okay. Trying to rein it in a little bit here. I've seen it ugly. I've seen people come to churches and every time there's a new person there and they get a prophecy and the word is you're supposed to leave where you're at and come here. You hear that a couple times and you're like, this isn't prophecy at all. This is, we'll say something else, right? This is an unclean church growth method, right? That's not what this is. And so God never wants to supersede your will. God has a personal relationship with you, and he shares a couple words with someone else of the conversation that's ongoing in your life with God. Mm-hmm. All right? It should be part of the ongoing conversation of God with you. And so when God brings a prophetic word or someone brings a prophetic word, sometimes you're like, man, I've been praying about that. I didn't know. Sometimes you never thought of it in your life, and you can just hold on to it like a seed. Amen. And just, you know, put it on the shelf. Maybe that's God. Maybe it's not. I get a lot of prophetic words that are like, man, we'll just see what happens, you know. I don't get a lot of prophetic words because I'm not really open to a lot. I don't get
people
a lot.
Giving you words?
Yeah, I don't get a lot of words. I get words. There's a couple people who give me a fair amount of words. But I don't need everybody to speak into my life. This is not the direction I'm trying to go in, but I'm not desperate about what God is speaking to me because I have a relationship with him.
Amen. Yeah.
Trusted people I'm expecting to speak into my life, and they do. And I hope you have fostered healthy relationships where people can speak into your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's a good word right there, Sarah, right?
Amen.
So I'm not looking for Tom, Dick, or Harry to come with a word that God is speaking because I have people like Sarah who gives me prophetic words. My wife speaks in them out. Corey, you know, I have pastors in my life who speak in them, who regularly hear God that I have a relationship with. But sometimes God just likes a word to be public. And now we have this morning. Sarah Pagano, everybody. No pressure now.
No pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure. I'm so sorry. I forget your names.
Tim and Luann?
Tim, Luann, right? And Tim? Yeah.
Oh, I have a word for Luann too. That's cool. Go ahead and stand up if you would, both of you. That's good.
Amen.
What do you have? This is going to be exciting because that's the first word I got too. Go ahead.
That's the first one too.
What the?
What?
What
okay.
The? Yeah.
Oh, I miss him. I felt like God was calling you guys into a season of yielding. Mm. But I felt like in that you kind of get nervous, like, well, what about the fruit? Like, how can I still, it doesn't mean like ministering stops, if that makes sense. But I saw, within your yielding as a couple, like married together, but individually to God as well. I just saw the fruit multiply in your life. And whether it be, I don't know what that means to you, but I just saw it multiply. Like, you don't have to worry about the fruit just because you're yielding to God, like really not doing things without God speaking on it first, but God being very clear in the season of yielding that exactly what to do or how to do it, when to do it. Like, it'll be very, you'll know exactly what to do. And
does that make sense to you? Is it getting there?
Yeah.
Luann, here's what I saw for you. I saw, you ever get like really hot, like you get overheated and your head feels really hot? Hot flashes. I get those too, but it's, you know. I felt like this heat thing happens on your head and you feel like it's a reason not to do stuff. And I just saw young women in your life, specifically one young girl, and I felt like the reasons that you have given not to do stuff, God is saying, if you'll do the stuff I ask you to do, the reasons will go away. Wow. It's kind of like what she's saying. If you yield to what God is saying, then the excuses will fall away. Don't wait for the excuses to fall away before you yield to God. I feel like there's something on both of you. I feel like as a couple, there's a call on your lives. I don't know what it is. He didn't show me exactly. I could guess, but that doesn't really help you. But he hasn't shown me. But I feel like there's something on your lives, and I just see this word that she's given about yielding. I feel like if you just begin to yield in this season to what he's speaking in the little things, I think it's going to open doors that you haven't seen open in a while. And I just feel like there's paths that you haven't walked down in a while, and you're going to go down these old paths again that you thought maybe were overgrown. And as you walk down them, you're going to see kind of even dreams at the end of the path that you had forgotten about or maybe discounted. Maybe somebody gave you a word in the past, and since you didn't see it, you got rid of it. And I just see you going down a path and these old dreams kind of coming to life again. And I think it's funny that a lot of women are really, really scared of certain seasons in life because it, and they assign significance to it that God doesn't assign to it, right? Like, a lot of women are scared to turn 50. Any women know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I look at 50 as Pentecost. 50 is Pentecost. That's the day of 50, the Holy Ghost comes, right? On the 50th day, right? So I'm looking forward to 50. I'm expecting a second anointing at 50.
Amen.
I don't know what you're expecting. I'm expecting when I turn 50, I'm getting a new anointing for a new season. You can receive whatever you want. You can be old to you. I'm like, hey, youthful again. I'm being restored by the Spirit of God. I'm 46, so I gotta be looking at these things. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so I just see you guys coming into an amazing season. That's pretty much it right there. Amen. Is that everything for you?
Yeah.
Amen. Give it up for them, please, if you would. And being bold and standing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sarah. Oh,
okay.
What you got?
Gina, who's your friend? Yep. Dawn, can you stand up, please?
Hi, Dawn.
Hi. I think you were here last week. I think I saw you at the table over there. I felt like when I saw you walk back, I think it was offering, and I knew it was for you, but I felt like God was telling you it's okay to get your hopes up in this season.
Go ahead.
That there's like emotional chaos happening around you, and God sees it, and it's okay that as you might be having moments of like getting hopes up, like feeling like seeing good things changing, like even regardless of what's happening around you, God is for you and he sees it and he's just really encouraging you to get your hopes up. Does that make sense?
Lean into that, Sarah. Now this is me challenging Sarah. Lean into that. Go ahead.
I feel like just to remind you, the emotional stuff, I keep hearing the word emotional chaos, not to make it scary and big, but God didn't cause that.
That's a good word.
You didn't cause that. So as you're just giving yourself to him and allowing God to really change your heart almost in it, the healing will come for you as well as the people involved in whatever is going on around you. And out of this, I feel like God is going to really change just generations from it.
Hallelujah.
Coming after you.
That's a good word. That's Amen. A good word. Amen. Give it up, everybody.
Woo. I can't clap with the book.
What's that?
I was trying to clap with the book. You can't clap with a book.
I got a word for you, Lydia. How you doing? Just stand for me. You need a word? Did you need a word today? I heard the Lord speak to me very clearly at Isaiah 58:12. And he talked, though what he said to me was out of 58:12. He used a slightly different word. He told me he's going to rebuild the ruined foundation in your life.
Wow.
He's rebuilding ruined foundation. And when we build on the wrong foundation, and we, something that was really funny is, we build on the wrong foundation, then we're surprised when everything falls down. Like, oh, I can't believe that didn't work. Well, we, you know, hello. Hello. We build on the wrong foundation. And I felt like the Lord is going to, in this season, thanks, Chris. He's rebuilding the foundation and study Isaiah 58:12. And I even saw the Lord show me about when the children of Israel crossed over and they set up the memorial stones. What's interesting is they didn't set up 12. They set up two sets of 12. It's important to not just look where you came from, but how God brought you through.
Amen.
And I feel like as you look into that, and I saw on a social media post that you had even done that recently, so I knew that this word was right. But I feel like the Lord is telling you like that path is still available, and just because you I'm trying to speak in code here. Not all paths are the right path. And I feel like you'll reestablish the one that God had for you as you look back at the journey. Is that making sense? I'll be more clear privately later if you'd like. Okay? Amen. Go ahead, Sarah.
Amen. Hope, can you stand up, please? Thank you. I saw, first how it looked was God showed me like these two mountains, but I knew it was two things you'd be presented with soon. And both ultimately would work out well for you, for your family, you know, decision-wise. But I felt like God was really challenging you to not just make the decision, but really like prayerfully consider it and just really seek God on it, whatever way, however you hear God, however you would do that, because the way that he would, the choice that he would have you make, just kind of like Amos chapter 9 was talking about the blessings, like everywhere you see blessings, it was like that, like to get to this point, if you go this way that God is showing you, that there would be blessing everywhere, you would know like, okay, I'm in the will of God. And the other way ultimately may end up well, but that wouldn't be following you. Does that make sense? Amen.
Amen. I don't know what that meant, but praise God.
I don't know either.
Who's the youngest Christoph girl in the room? The youngest Christoph girl in the room. There you go. How you doing? How's life treating you today? How old are you? 18. Then this word makes sense. You're coming up on an interesting season. And interesting things are going to fly into your head, right? I love that saying, don't believe everything you think.
Yeah.
But there is a personal expression of Eden coming. And it's easy to turn that into, how do I say this? To allow that to damage relationships. It's your assignment in this season to figure out how to be you while staying connected. Because things will begin changing rapidly, internally for you. And God is God. I see you like in a house, figuratively speaking. I see you in a house, and I see you finding an open door, like a door you never knew was there, and there's a whole new room. It's kind of like you live in a house your entire life, and you open a door, and there's a basketball court there. And you're like, nobody told me about this, and I've always wanted to play basketball. This is what we all should be doing, right? Why didn't you tell me about the basketball court, right? And so, like, there's a whole new door opening in your life, and it's going to be, and you didn't realize it's been there the whole time, and it's going to be easy to separate from others who aren't going in the same direction that you're going in. And I really feel like God is warning you. I like to meet 18-year-olds. And I have this theory that I have not shared in a while. Stay standing. I have this theory. And anybody heard like when they talk about the age of accountability for salvation? You know, like that? And there's a debate about where the age of accountability is. And it's always been my theory that the age of accountability is somewhere between 17 and 20. Now, I can show you scripture, but that's what I believe. And that's really where you come out from covering and you begin to establish your own. And that's when you really get to decide, am I following Jesus or not? You know, your 7-year-old follows Jesus. They should. They're in your house. They're under your covering. My dog should follow Jesus under my house. Right? Doesn't mean he's saved. That means like I have authority over this zone. Of course he's following Jesus. And then they move out and now, you know, they've been told their whole life, you're saved. Everything's great. Well, you know, well, they're not living life yet. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see when they move out. Yeah. Right? We'll see when they move out. And so I like to talk to 18-year-olds and say, listen, this is the age where you're going to have to decide who you're going to be.
I remember that.
We had that conversation. I have that conversation with people. Here it is. And now all of a sudden, life is going to treat you like an adult.
Yeah.
Your parents' covering is not going to work the way it used to work. Your parents' covering is not going to work the way it used to work. So now you can decide who you're going to be. Amen. Choose well. That's a good word right there.
Amen.
Go ahead, Sarah.
That's good. I'm not sure who it's for, but I know it's for a woman.
Okay.
I just feel like at this point, I just see like the fogginess in your head just being completely removed. And just like this uncertainty that you feel about yourself just leaving completely. Kind of like how Pastor was sharing to Eden about like identity, choosing who you are. But it's so sovereign, like you can't make it happen. It's just God's best for you. He doesn't want you to be uncertain about yourself or about your call or about who you are, what you're going to do. Like he has you and he's just removing all that fog.
That's a good word.
Amen.
Pick someone over there and prophesy over them.
That's pressure. I can't even see him. Travis. Sorry, Travis. Laura, can you stand up?
Who?
Laura. Right? Is that Laura? Yeah. Laura. Hey. I just saw your heart and Jesus just holding it.
Hallelujah.
And it just like completely breaking things off of your life as you just allow him in, like the deepest parts of you, the places you don't want anybody to know, you don't want anybody to see. But as he's just holding, I just see him holding it, and as he's holding it, chains are broken, things are coming off, and it all looks bad, like it looks scary, but it's not scary, it's good, and it can really like push you into. Just, I feel like it's just going to push you into the next thing for you.
Amen. That's a good word. Not someone in the center. Stop laughing. Just look
at
the center.
Sorry. Andres, I saw you back there. Can you stand up?
You should already be looking at the left, by the way.
Okay, no, I figured I got on. Wow.
She's the laughing prophet. Good.
It's my signature.
It's better than the angry. I've met enough angry prophets, right? Yeah. Met enough of them. A couple laughing prophets would be nice.
I saw it's... Okay, this is going to sound funny, but I saw like... You know when you wear like a Popeye costume and you have like the muscles you put on? Like I saw that like as soon as you stood up, like it just looked like you were being equipped.
Go ahead.
But it looked to me like Popeye muscles. Sorry. You don't have to eat spinach or anything, but I just saw like as you're being equipped, you really looked at yourself and owned it. Like, it wasn't a question.
Go ahead.
Even though it looked fake in the sense that it's a costume.
Go ahead.
It wasn't fake. That's what God has you as, like, equipped like that, strong and just, it was good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and what I saw that also, Andres, is what I see is sometimes the Lord will put something on you and out of false humility will deny it. And we get to choose whether we're going to walk in it or deny it. And we're like, well, I don't want to be bold about it, God. You know, I'll say no. And then we never walk in it. We're like, well, good thing I didn't say yes. And I just feel like sometimes we have to, if we don't believe that God has anointed us, nobody else will. And we won't ever operate in the anointing, right?
Yeah.
And so I just feel like, especially in this season, you're going to have to learn to, that's the wrong wording. In this season, you're going to have to just, that's the wrong word too. What God says is final.
Amen.
We don't get a vote, even when it comes to us.
Amen.
And so at some point we just say, this is what God says. I guess that's truth. And so I'm going to begin to walk like that is truth.
Yeah.
And then before we know it, the truth that God has shared to us and deposited in our spirit, and as we agree with it, we begin to see it around us.
Wow.
But it can't come through you until you receive it and believe it and begin to operate in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Amen.
Good job, man. You rock.
Xanadu. can stand up. Woo! I know I've had a similar thing for you with like your arms stretched out, right? Remember that? I saw God stretching you, and that's how it looked to me again, like the arms stretched out thing. But I saw him stretching you, and it was not pleasant. But it was like, you know, if somebody like gets their shoulder out of socket and they have to like maneuver it and mess with it to get it back in. I saw God doing the stretching, but it was to pop things back into place for you. And the longer you fought the process, the longer it was going to take to get the limbs back in where they were supposed to go. So I just saw as you just like, okay, God, this hurts and I don't like it, but I'm just going to let you do it. And it was a lot quicker that way.
Yeah, what I saw, as soon as she started saying that, I saw that like the limb was out of socket and it began healing out of place.
Wow.
And it was like that for so long that you just began living like it was the real. And wow. So sometimes it's very painful to put it back the way it's supposed to be. And you're like, this doesn't feel like it's good, God. And he's like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. He really does.
He really knows what he's doing. And like, you should have done this a long time ago. And it's almost like you knew it was out of socket, but you didn't do anything about it for a long time.
Yeah.
That's a good word. You got anything else or are you good?
Good.
Amen. Give it up for Sarah, everybody. Listen, we're almost done with service here. We're going to get some people healed. Is that okay? I'm going to ask Travis and Mike Rentler to come on up here. I think they have some words of knowledge for healing, yeah? Now, as they walk up, I'm going to share. Are you guys okay? Anybody want to get healed?
Yeah.
All right. So we believe in words of knowledge. Sometimes God tells some people what he wants to do. And you get to choose if the word of knowledge is for you or if it's just... Here's the way Randy Clark teaches it. What if Jesus showed up here today and said, I'm going to heal you? Would you believe it? How likely would it be if Jesus walked in the room and said, I'm going to heal you today?
Yeah.
Would you believe that he was going to heal you?
Yeah.
And by that faith, you probably would be healed. And so what the word of knowledge is Jesus, by his spirit, speaking through somebody that today's your day to be healed.
Amen.
And so some people get healed as soon as they hear the word of knowledge. Now, you know, we're going to be done in about 15 minutes, Lord willing. And so there's microphones over there, guys. You're going to need that. And so they're just going to call out words of knowledge, and then you're going to stand.
Your sword.
And then we're going to pray for you, and you're going to be healed. Some of you may get healed during the word, but I don't know. Go ahead. Who's going to go first?
Yeah.
Who's going first?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Who's ready to be healed?
You'll get feedback.
Who's ready to be healed?
Go ahead.
I feel like someone has a pain in the arches of their feet or maybe flat feet. Am I flat feet or pain in the arches of their feet?
What's your next one?
Okay. Ringing in the ears.
Okay. Next one. They're all going to stand up at the same time.
Okay. Okay, cool. Someone has sore eyes. Might be from a computer. It might be from discomfort. And also allergies. Allergies in general. Which is
all right. So who is the flat feet? Who's got flat feet? No, keep saying it. If you're any of those things, stand up. Where's our flat feet at? Who's got arch problems and flat feet? Honey, can you stand up for our daughter with her arch issues?
Mm-hmm.
Flat feet. Who's our flat feet? Give me a wave. Who's your flat feet? Who's our flat feet? Okay. And what was the second one?
The second one was ringing in the ears.
Ringing in the ears?
Yep.
I get ringing in the ears. I have tinnitus.
Tinnitus. Okay. And back there.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Who's that back there?
And Corey.
Corey. Come on. And over here? And over here.
And you?
All the older people. We're the ones with it. And what else was the next one?
Like soreness in the eyes or
who's got sore eyeballs?
Allergies.
Who's got the sore eyeballs?
Yep.
All right.
I got cataracts too.
And cataracts?
Yeah.
Any cataracts in the room?
Ooh.
Anybody with
cataracts in the room?
Testimony for that.
You know, I saw the coolest healing in Mexico last time we were there.
I was hoping you're gonna
this
say
woman
it.
Had cataracts.
Oh, this is so crazy.
This woman had cataracts. Like, it was so bad her eyes looked gray. Mm-hmm. And they prayed for her, and it came out like a black sludge right down her face, and she could see perfectly.
Set them free, Lord.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So eyes. What did you have?
I got.
Wait, wait. Allergies. And who was our allergies? Hallelujah. And what? What'd you have?
I've got. Has anybody got a sore pinky?
Sore pinky. Who's got the sore pinky?
Sore pinky.
Pinky. Pinky. Pinky. Pinky.
Nope. Or a sore.
Hey, sore pinky right over there.
Yeah.
There you go.
And his shoulder.
Which shoulder?
Right.
Right shoulder. Is it
right
in the socket or
just right on top?
That's
top of the right shoulder.
Really. Carrying the mantle of the Lord, huh?
And Rich, I think, too.
Back here,
right?
Who else? What else? Yeah.
Was that ankle? Left ankle.
Left ankle.
Left ankle.
We got a left ankle over there.
There you go.
Okay. All right. You got a left ankle too?
I did.
Okay.
Double.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
I felt like someone had a wrist injury while driving, but maybe not an accident. Very specific. Someone had a wrist injury
while driving. Wrist injury while driving. Wow. Wrist injury while driving. Okay, what else? They might be watching on the podcast.
Okay. Go ahead. I also got a tingling ankle or top of the foot. That might be you, Rich.
Mm. Tingling? Mm.
And I had fear of concussions or possible concussions. Someone who might have had a concussion is not sure, and it scares them. It freaks them out.
Mm, that's not good. That could be fear of the, I felt like the fear of concussions effects.
Yes.
Long-term effects from concussions.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Is that it?
I had just general fear earlier.
Oh, well.
Just fear.
Fear
just
in like, general. You don't have to stand up for fear. We'll pray for you
fear
in a minute.
Fear is coming on.
We'll pray for fear in a second.
Yeah.
Anything else? Or are we good?
Yeah.
Jesus. Come on.
I feel like someone had one of their Achilles. I think it's the right. It feels tight a lot.
And
you're afraid that it's going to snap, basically. Yep.
Anybody else? Anything else? Are we good? Okay. So again, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the word of knowledge. That's knowing something you could not know on your own, right? Mm-hmm. I can't just say, I knew you have this, and so I say it so that you have to be healed. That could be a gift of healing. But we believe the word of knowledge by the Holy Spirit they heard that Jesus wants to heal somebody of a specific ailment. And so they heard the word that Jesus wants to heal somebody. They then said what they heard Jesus say. They believe that he's going to heal today of these things. Amen? And so you stood up in faith. And so what we'd like you to do right now is check your injury right now. Check the shoulder, check the feet, check the knee, check the eyesight, the ankles, the pinky. See, look for the pain right now. Look for it and see if you can identify the pain after the word of knowledge. Those of you, is anybody checking? Check right now. Can anybody feel anything happening in your body yet? The pain is gone where? So the pain is gone in your shoulder. All right, well, anybody else? Check, yeah. Check anybody else. Check your bodies. What do you feel happening?
I have more strength in my
Achilles. Your strength is coming back to your Achilles. Come on, anybody else?
Come on.
Anybody else feel anything? Check again. Check for where it hurt. Check where the problem was. Do it now. Check your eyesight. Move your body around. Look for it. Anybody else? Anybody else feel anything happening?
Murray says.
What do you feel? It's feeling better now. Is it the pain gone? So you might be saying, well, that's only three people out of all these. We haven't prayed yet. We haven't even prayed for healing
yet.
We just responded to the word of knowledge and three people already got healed. Now, what does that tell you is about to happen when we pray? Boom.
Yeah.
Okay, prayer team. Prayer team, if you would stand and put your hand on the... And if you're sitting somewhere near these people standing, you're the prayer team. You are the prayer team.
Yep.
Put a hand. Now, if you're standing, put a hand in the air, and once somebody is praying for you, somebody has their hand on your shoulder, put your hand down. Don't start praying yet. Put your hand in the air. We have a couple people over here who need somebody to go over there and pray for them. Maria, get up and start praying for people. That's you. I'm engaged. Nobody cares. Come on. We have two back here. Two back here. We need
Everybody cares.
Gina, get up. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder. We got someone back there who needs prayer. Okay, if you have somebody praying for you, put your hand down.
Someone get to Corey, please.
Yeah, we got...
Someone get to Corey, please.
We got Corey.
Or
we
multiple
got
someones.
I feel the arches are being healed right now.
Yeah.
The arches are being healed. Feel it in your foot right now. I don't know who that is, but your arches are being healed.
Mm-hmm.
Check your right arch.
Yep.
Do you feel it? In your right arch, is it happening?
Ah.
Yeah, it's shooting right now, and it's...
Yeah.
Be healed, because this is painful.
Yep.
Wow.
I can feel it in my foot.
Good God.
Yeah.
Check it. Wow. Go ahead. Who wants to pray for healing now? Which one of you?
Right now, Jesus, every part, Lord, the pinky, the cataracts, we curse that right now in Jesus' name. No more.
Healing.
No more
blinding. Pray for them now. Begin to pray. Begin to pray for them.
Healing right
now.
Begin
to pray for them. Healing. Just say, I command your body to be healed right now in the name of Jesus.
I command your body to be healed in the name of Jesus.
I command your body to be healed in the name of Jesus.
I just become. Wow. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come on.
Shoulder pain, go. Because of the blood, because of the cross, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, Jesus. Eyes again.
Hallelujah.
Eyes again, Lord.
Yeah.
Eyes again, Lord.
Hallelujah.
All knee ailments healed. Gosh.
Again,
arches in the
Lord.
Feet healed. Ringing in the ears. Heal. Yes.
Healing for ringing in the ears. Right now, in Jesus' name, I command all tinnitus and ringing to leave the room right now in Jesus' name, that the ringing would stop. Regardless of the past, the stone is rolled back. Ear ringing, be healed now in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Now, begin to interview them. See if anything is better. Ask them, you know, how was the pain or how was it before? Go ahead. Is it better? Is it 30% better, 50% better, 80% better? Ask them. Yeah. How much better is it? Real quickly, ask them, is it better or is it not better? Is it better at all? Hey, listen, here's what I need you to do. Do me a favor. If it's 80% better, right? We don't need 100%. If it's 80% better, put both hands over your head and begin to wave like this. If it's at least 80% better, come on, look around the room. 80% better, wave both hands. Come on, give it up for Jesus. Come on, all around the room. Yeah. All right, let's pray one more time real quick. Pray one more time. All the way. Release it right now. We command every foul and wicked spirit of infirmity to leave.
It to go.
We command trauma to leave.
Yeah.
Trauma to leave right now in the name of Jesus.
Command all
the fear, all anxiety,
all uncertainty, all trauma, all doubt leaves right now in Jesus' name.
It's your purity, Lord.
Yeah.
Faith rise in this
room. Pure from heaven.
Yeah. Release it right now.
Pure from heaven, Lord. Purity, Jesus.
Yeah.
You change every situation and circumstance, Jesus.
Wow.
Everyone, you change it, Lord. Right now, by the blood.
In the name of
Jesus. By the blood, Lord.
Yeah. Wow.
By the blood.
In the name,
in the name of Jesus.
By the blood.
Receive the free gift of healing now. God, in the name of Jesus. God. It's a free gift for you. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. All allergies, I command you to leave right now in Jesus' name. Every allergy of every person, be healed in Jesus' name. No more allergies in the name of Jesus.
Now check your body now. Check your body now. Is it better? Do what you couldn't do. Try to do what you couldn't do. Don't do, you know, don't, if it's painful, don't. But, you know, do what you couldn't do. Do what you couldn't do. Do what you couldn't do. Now again, if you are healed at least 80% from the word of knowledge or the last time or this time, if you're at least 80% better, wave both hands over your head if you would please. Just both hands over your head. All over the room. 80% better at least. Yeah. Come on, give it up. Come on. Let me get three people to come up and give a testimony real quick. I just need three. Just give me three. Just three. Right up here to give me a testimony. What happened? Three. My wife is one. Who's two? Who's two? Who's two? Who's two? Here's two. Oh, gosh. Somebody who's not. Come on, Andres. Come on.
Preachers.
I got all the preachers on stage. Come on, Sarah. You can come up. I want to be preacher.
I'll trade places with someone.
Now you're good. Okay. Go ahead.
Mine's quick. Told me to stand, and the pain left my shoulder immediately.
What was wrong with your shoulder?
I don't know. This shoulder was very sore. I'm not really sure what I did.
But it hurt.
But it hurt.
And now.
And now it doesn't hurt anymore.
Hey, come on. Yeah. That's a good word.
Hallelujah. I had the pressure and the pain in the eyes, and as soon as Lucas and Tara started praying for me, just kind of felt significantly more relaxed and much less strained. And as they prayed, the pain started to leave. And if you know me, I'm constantly squinting, and my eyes are always straining. And
Hallelujah.
It feels good. Feels good. It feels a lot better.
Amen. 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 Come on, Andres.
It wasn't a word of knowledge, but my back, it's been hurting for over a year now. And I got up for like allergies and other things, but I felt just like the pain went down almost to zero.
Wow.
And then it went to like maybe 5%. And then the second time we prayed, I could feel like burning on my back. And the person that was praying saw visions of like the muscles growing, like just unraveling. And I feel a lot better. There's a little
upper back pain. Stand up. We're going to pray for you real quick. Upper back pain. Go ahead, Andres. Let it rip.
So, Father, I just...
Let it rip, chip.
Father, I just command all pain in the back to go in Jesus' name. I just command the muscles to just open up, God, the tension to leave. I just command the discs to go back into place, God, to fill them right back up, Jesus. If there's any cushion missing, God, fill it right back up. And the spines to align right now in Jesus' name. Every muscle, every tendon, God, right now. Oh, Jesus, even if it affects the neck, Father, right now. In Jesus' name, we command it to heal right now, burning upon them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Give it up, everybody. Come on. Go ahead, Sarah. What you got for us?
So I've had pain in my arch and into my heel. I got prayed for before. It's plantar fasciitis. Mm-hmm. And so it's been going on for about 2 years. And when they're praying for me, you guys started saying, I started feeling like it was kind of like a tingling, but the pain was started going away. And then it just, they prayed a couple times more, and then it's like 80% better. Like,
hallelujah.
I can't feel the excruciating. Like, it was a lot worse.
All the way, Jesus. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen, amen, amen. What you got for us, Rich? Richard, Ricky, Senna?
All of the above.
Covered all his names.
So I tore my Achilles, I want to say 3.5 months ago, and I got surgery on it probably 2.5 months ago. And it was, the process was pretty slow for me getting better. And before I even got prayer for it today, I already was able to do things that I honestly thought was probably another 2 to 3 weeks out.
Come on.
I mean, I'm up on one toe on a repaired, surgically repaired Achilles. And I told myself, if I could get up on one toe on this, then, you know, I'll start to believe that this rehab is actually working. So, and I went for a little jog, and I mean, honestly, it's amazing that this happened to me, because I never believed that this would happen to me. So I just praise God that.
What happened today?
Healing.
What happened today? What do you feel happening today?
I can go up on one toe on my surgically repaired Achilles that I never thought I could do for another 2 months.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give it up for everybody that got that prayer. Give it up for Jesus. Give it up for these two amazing men. Hallelujah. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm about to preach the shortest message I've ever preached at Revival Life Church. I will be done in 10 minutes. I will be done in 10 minutes. So I'm going to need you to focus. Focus. Hallelujah. I got a very simple message here. And you know, the enemy has a purpose for your life. The enemy, that doesn't confuse anybody, does it? It doesn't surprise you, right? The enemy has a purpose for your life. God created you with a purpose. Amen. The enemy has a purpose for your life. God created you with a purpose. One of those is easier to fall into than the other. I counsel people more than, well, I won't say that. I've never met with somebody at the altar. I've never had a counseling session where somebody said, you know, Pastor, I hear about this spiritual warfare. I hear about, you know, the enemy's plans, and I've never seen that. And I just, can you please help me see that the enemy has a bad plan for my life? Can you help me figure out? Because I've only seen God's good plans. That's never happened, right? I've never had anybody say, help me understand what the enemy wants, right? I've never, because that's easy to receive. Right? It's very easy to receive the plan of the enemy. God, though, created you with a purpose. And let me tell you this. So many people are deceived by the simplicity of their call that they miss God's purpose for their life. They so exalt other people's giftings and other people's ministries and other people's purpose that they begin to devalue theirs so they can get something that they value more. And kind of like the word we had for Andres, that if God says this is for you, we need to just walk in that. Life's going to be better once you do anyways, right? Though the enemy has a plan for us, we know God created us with a purpose. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that though we're supposed to focus on God's plans, we're not supposed to be ignorant of the enemy's. Though we're supposed to focus on God's plans, we can't afford to be ignorant of the enemy's plans. What does that mean? You have to know your weaknesses. You have to know your weaknesses. You have to communicate those weaknesses to other people and ask them to keep an eye on you in case they see you wandering into the wrong path. All right? You got to have these relationships in your life. Or you say, listen, if you know, this is where I feel like in this season, I'm just going to be honest with you, since, you know, it's holiday weekend, kind of a looser service here. I can't tell you how annoying it is as a pastor for someone to come to you and say, God told me this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and then 3 weeks later they're doing something different. But they say with all authority, no, I hear God, and this is what we're supposed to do. And then it's like 3 weeks later, God changed his mind. They don't ask for confirmation on the first plan, and they definitely aren't asking for confirmation on the second. All they want to do is hear your amen. That is not having covering, right? That is not having accountability. And it doesn't have to be with me. It doesn't have to be with your pastor. It doesn't even have to be with your life group leader, but it's got to be with somebody. Got to be with somebody who could say, hey, you told us, you know, this, what are we doing this for now? Oh, no, I got this plan, whatever. Yeah, but you said this. Why are we now doing that? You said you feel called to go to ministry in this area, but now you're doing that. And you're like, well, I just feel, okay, that's fine, but either you got it wrong there or you're getting it wrong here. Which is it? These are the questions you need. Did you get it wrong there or do you have it wrong here? Because we both know now that you get it wrong sometimes. And the sooner we'll be honest about the fact that I don't always get this thing right, the more you can be humble enough to start receiving good counsel in your life. Are you with me? I need you to engage because I don't got a lot of time, right? 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 14. I'm going to start in 14. We're going to pick up our scripture in 15, but I want to hit 14 real quick. Sorry, tech team. They'll catch up to us in 15. It says, if you're reviled for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Verse 15, make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, thief, evildoer, or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Now, you have to know kind of the backstory on this scripture. You know, the early church, they didn't call themselves Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians, right? And like we call it today, like we just use that term as somebody who's a believer. We use them interchangeably, a believer or Christian, or I like to say a follower of Christ. Because we know the demons believe. They're not following Christ. My wife had an interesting counseling session with somebody recently and talking about getting married, and they were asking, you know, about how we do it and whether we'd be involved and whatnot. And my wife was kind of talking about how we believe in marriage is not just, we don't add God to the ceremony where you're the center of the world. Like, this is either we're following God or we'd be happy to attend. Right? And so we're saying, well, you know, if people are living together, we don't marry people living together because we do premarital counseling. And if you're not following God now, we don't have any confidence that you'll follow him later. Right? If you're not following him now, and we don't do stuff just so that you can say the pastor came to your, like, it's a covenant, right? And we take it serious. And so we had to explain, like, you know, well, I know you say you're Christian, and that's not for me to decide whether you're saved or not. Like, right. God has not anointed anybody to determine who's saved and who's not. Jesus alone holds that authority in his life. He will judge the salvation of men, not us. We don't get to judge. And I can say you're a Christian, or I can say you're going to hell, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. It only matters what Jesus says, right? I think we all can discern if somebody is following Christ or not. Are you a follower of Jesus? Because where I see you going, you can't find him. Right? And so while we can't determine who's saved and who's not, we can determine, are you following Christ? And we love marrying followers of Christ to other followers of Christ. I have no intention of helping you be joined to someone who's not following Christ. I can't bless that, right? I love you, and I'll celebrate with you, and I'll rejoice with you, and you know, I'll announce you and I'll bless you, but I can't give an amen. I can't go to what the world now calls a marriage and say, I'll give you my amen and say that I support you because I'm going to do everything I can to break you up. You know, Jesus. This ain't even my message. But the world is just like, you know, you can... There is a godly love. There's a godly same You could have a godly love for the same gender, but it's not romantic. It's not a romantic love. It's not a sexual love. It's not a sexual love, and it's not a covenantal marital love. And if you get married and you invite me, I can't go because I can't promise. Hopefully Josh and Maria are going to be faithful to Jesus and I get to go to their wedding. I'd love that. I'd love to go to that thing. And in my heart, I'm going to covenant to protect that. And I'm going to cover that. And I'm going to say, hey, Josh, if I see something in your life that violates your marriage, I'm going to say something. Yeah. And I hope you do the same for me. Because as part of this community, we're going to protect that thing. But when you're dating, you're not married. I'm not called to protect your dating relationship. I'm not called to protect that thing. I'm more than happy to say, this is a disaster waiting to happen. Y'all should stop. Early in the church, we had a lot of teenagers, and they'd come up, like they're dating now, they're hugging all up and worshiping all that. Pastor, will you bless us? I'm like, no, I don't even bless that thing. Not a chance. Why? Because I actually believe that my words have power. I'm not blessing something God don't bless. And I'll be accountable for my words. I'm not standing up in front of Jesus, justifying that. Well, they wanted me to, God, so I went ahead and released the anointing. No. Will you bless us? I'll pray that you don't sin. I'll pray that you don't sin against this girl. I'll pray that if you'd like. I'll pray that the judgment of God comes upon any sinful thoughts. And if you touch this girl in an unclean way, that the conviction of the Holy Ghost will come upon you. I'll pray. You want me to pray that? I'll pray that. I'm more than happy, because that's a blessing. See, now that is a blessing. I pray that if either one of you sins against the other, you'll break up that day. You want me to pray that? Because that would be a blessing. But you're calling, no. So if I go to I'm just on a roll here, honey. I'm so sorry. My wife's looking at the time. Okay, give me three. I'm almost done. Not really. But if I go to that way, I'm just like, I understand you're happy, but you're going to be better walking with Jesus. And so I'm just going to be like, hey, that's awesome. But I am going to be focused on you getting free and getting into a God-honoring relationship. Right? In this world, though, you suffer for saying that. Now you're hateful. Now you're judgmental. Now why do you get to judge my heart? Why do you get to judge my heart? Because I don't agree with you. Where did that become okay? Why is it okay to only judge Christians? When did we flip that script? That it's hateful unless we agree with you, it's hateful. I don't buy into that script. You can do whatever you want. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I don't have to buy into that. Guess what? I give my life to Jesus. I'm sorry. I don't have to buy into that. And Peter here, in this day and age that he's writing to, Christians weren't popular. Christians were being persecuted, and the enemy is trying to knead you into his plan to value his value system, to begin exalting his judgments against the judgments of God and above the judgments of God. And so what Peter is saying here is, listen, you're being reviled. I get it. You're Christians. You're being reviled. I get it. Don't be reviled for sinning. If you're going to be reviled, don't be reviled for being an evildoer. Why do you use the word evildoer? Because then, in those days, Christians were called evildoers. Christians were bucking the trend. They were going against the common belief. They were saying, just because you worship this man as a god doesn't mean he's a god. And they said, just like they said to the other apostles, hey, you guys are here. Everywhere you go, there's chaos. You're messing everything up. And they're like, yeah, because everything is messed up already. You just don't know it. So yeah, I'm causing a little chaos, but I'm setting things in right order. You just don't recognize it yet because you don't have the Spirit of Christ. But what's really happening is I'm putting things in right order. I'm releasing the Spirit of God, and you think it's messing things up, but everything's better now. Everything's better than it was. I understand you're hurting because this relationship failed, but the relationship was not healthy, and you're actually better now. I know you're hurting because the sin got exposed, but you're actually at a better place now than you were. I understand people are challenging you and it hurts your ego, but you're actually in a better place than you were. Right? He's saying, listen, if you're going to be reviled, don't be reviled for being a sinner. And he's saying, don't be reviled by Christians for doing the stuff the world does. The whole world's going to agree that all this is okay. Don't let the enemy set your agenda. God has a purpose for you. Let that set you. Don't. And so he says, listen, we're going to take this back. We're taking back these words. Don't be a real evildoer. Don't. And they're like, yeah, don't be an evildoer because that's what the Christians are. No. Christians was a pejorative then. It was a slang word. It was an unclean assignment towards Christians. Does that make sense? It was a slander. It's only used 3 times in the New Testament. Christians only used 3 times. It was like, and that was the first time they were called Christians. Why? Because they were actually doing stuff that was messing up the city. That's where the slander came from, right? And so Peter's just like, yeah, this is what they call us. Verse 16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, don't be an evildoer, but if they call you a Christian, don't be ashamed. Glorify God in this name. Oh, they want to label you something? They want to say something about your family? They want to say something about you? They want to talk about what you can accomplish? Just put that on. And make that label something good. Bring honor to that label they gave. Oh, I know your family. You're a Thomas. The Thomases don't get anywhere. Oh, no. Let me show you what Thomases can become. There was a time where you didn't want to be associated with your family. And now you're like, no. I'm going to own this name. I'm going to take responsibility for this name. And I'm turning it to something good. It's like, if you're going to be reviled as a Christian, but bring honor to that name. Now, listen, Peter told them, here's something they would slander people. Oh, you're a Christian? No, I'm not a Christian. Remember Peter was set? They said, hey, you're with them? No, I'm not with them. You're one of his followers, aren't you? No, I'm not one. Now Peter's like, I learned something these days. No, I am one of them. Look, he said, listen, don't say you're not one of them. Say you are and turn it to something good. Yeah. Redefine the word. Nowadays, I got to tell you, it used to be something negative. It so came to pass. Peter's word so came to pass. You didn't even know that. Nobody would assume that. Now, if you live in the Middle East today, that you don't have to explain that to them. They're murdering Christians in the Middle East. They're slaughtering Christians all over the 1040 window. All over the world, Christians are being martyred all over. It's the most persecuted people group on the planet. We can be confused to thinking, well, now, Tay, there's safety in it. No, our brothers and sisters are being murdered. They're being tortured just for the name of Christ. I mean, today, look at the news today. Coptic Christians are being eradicated. Their churches are being bombed. They're being driven out of Syria. They're being murdered in Russia. They're being all over. They're being killed. Literally, their houses are being burned down. Churches are being burned down. Daughters sold into slavery and raped and impregnated so they'll have children who aren't Christians. I mean, this is it's wicked and it's murderous and it's evil. And it's easy to allow the persecution of the enemy to define our new priorities. And instead of saying, I want to glorify the name of Christ, I just want it easy. I just need relief. I just want an easy life. I just want things to be easy. You are not called to easy. You're just not called to easy. That's not what you're called to. You're called to make a mark on the earth. You're called to take the ball of Christianity and move it forward before you die. You're called to release the presence of God in South Florida. You're called to actually make a mark. You're not called to just live and die and pay bills in the meantime. That's not what you're called to do. You're called to receive the ball of Christ and say, when I die, I'm moving the team forward before I leave this planet. My family's going to identify with me and be proud. My city's going to identify with my faith and be proud. Right now, they're making fun of you. Oh, you're that church. You're those. Oh, I can't believe. Maybe you're first generation Christian and you got family members that maybe make fun of your faith. Maybe you have old friends that make fun of your faith. I've been there. I know what that's like to be mocked because you're the only person who got saved. I also know 10, 15 years later, those people start calling you crying because they need someone to talk to. They need someone to pray. They have a baby and they don't know anything about what to do. About getting your child connected to God. They don't know. And then all of a sudden the family members who used to make fun of you call you for prayer for healing and they start getting healed. I know what it's like to be on the other side of that hill. If you're a first generation Christian, I'm here to let you know, if you continue to honor the name of Christ and bring honor to his name in your family, the script will flip. The fruit will begin to bear witness in your life. And all of a sudden you'll redefine what they used to make fun of. You will redefine it as something of honor. What the enemy means for bad in your life, God's going to turn for good. Look, we're going to send you off over there. We're going to push you off over into this corner. Okay, well, I'll make that heaven on earth. And the people want to be where they've sent me. The enemy wants you to hide your faith. The enemy wants you to hide your faith. He don't want you to tell your friends. He don't want to tell your coworkers. He don't want to tell your people at school that you're a believer. He wants you to hide it. Why? Because there is revival behind that door. Listen, as long as you allow him to define what's important for you, you'll always hide it and you'll never be in the majority. You'll always be the minority. When you don't stand for righteousness, evil grows. If you don't want to be the outcast, start winning people to your team. Don't try to fit in with them. Start releasing the presence of God. Begin inviting people to church. Begin praying for your coworkers. Pray for the people in your life. Begin inviting your family members to church. Start giving your testimony to people all the time. Share your testimony, what God did in your life all the time. No one can argue your testimony. I went to church and my body hurt and now it doesn't. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. Did it really get better? I just said it got better. Do you have any doctor's reports? For what? To tell you I feel better? I don't need a doctor to tell me how I feel. I'm telling you right now, I feel better. Well, that could be all in your head. Well, I'm so glad that God healed my head at church yesterday. That's where most of this world needs healing anyways. Amen. Would you stand? Too late now. I blew it. Put your hands out. And I'm just going to pray. I kept you 10 minutes longer than I said I would, so I'll ask you to forgive me. But Father, would you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would anoint this group of people right here. That you would anoint this group of people right here, Father. That they would flip the script in their life. They would decide, I'm no longer going to be defined by them. I am defining my surroundings. And I have decided that the presence of God will rule my surroundings. Father, I pray they would begin to share their witness, begin to share their testimony, that they would begin to pray for people. They would begin to invite the church. They would begin to be righteous and stand up for righteousness. I just see some men in the workplace, and I just got this very clear picture of something that happened to me, and I see it in other people. Like, men start talking raunchy, and you don't know what to do. And I remember someone joked to me about having an affair or something about women. I'm like, no, I like my wife. I'm good. Oh, no, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, no, really, I don't. I'm good. I like my wife. I'm happy. I like my family. I'm good. Well, I wish I were like you. You can be. Absolutely. That's not a challenge right now. We can start that today. Today. We can start that today. And so I just pray for these men. I just saw, I don't know who it is, but I see you. And you don't have to be weird. You don't have to be Bible thumper, but you can just be like, hey, yeah, no, I don't get, sorry, I don't really get that at all. No. No, 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 don't go there. No, just don't. Why not? Doesn't sound like something I want to be a part of. That's it. I'm not judging you. Just not something I want to be a part of. Ladies, I'm just seeing so very clearly. You just setting the standard. Setting the standard. Yep, nope, I don't do that. No, not doing that. Nope. Well, if you got to go, you got to go, but I'm not doing that. Not going there. Not dressing like that. Hallelujah. So, Father, right now, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would release it upon these people today, that they would release the presence and power of God to a generation that desperately, desperately, desperately needs to know that you have an identity for them, that you have a plan, and you created them with a purpose. In the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Will you give a clap offering to the Lord, please? I'm going to have everybody who's praying earlier right down here up front. If you need healing in your body, I want to invite you to come forward. Specifically, if you have an addiction to opioids, I want to pray for you. I want to personally lay hands on you and just have the devil get off your life. We love you. We'll be here next week. Thanks for being with us today. If you're a first-time guest, we're going to have people at the Next Steps table. We would love to meet you, and we have a free gift. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Hug somebody before you go. JJ, hit the music.